Father, you are awesome tonight. Father, you stand in a category by yourself. We say from our heart, you are awesome. You are incomparable. Father God, we bless you tonight. We honor you, reverence you. Thank you that you're holy. Thank you that you're our deliverer. Thank you that you're our provider. Thank you that you're our helper. You're our Father. You are the blesser of our soul. You are awesome tonight. So we thank you for the privilege, Father God, the privilege of speaking your word. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for counting us faithful to the call, for the privilege to speak your word tonight. And we know there's nothing greater than your mighty word. One day heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word, because your word's quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you that you didn't leave us like orphans. Thank you that you didn't leave us comfortless. Thank you that you didn't leave us helpless. But when Jesus ascended back to heaven, you sent us the great comforter, the mighty Holy Ghost. He's the truth revealer. He's a standby. He's a guide. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's a helper. Father, thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost tonight. And Father, we're not going to hear your word like bumps sitting on a log. No, we're going to actively listen for the word tonight. And Father, as you speak to us, we'll move, we'll act, we'll make adjustments, whatever you say. When you speak, we'll be encouraged. When you speak, we'll be strengthened. When you speak, we'll be helped. When you speak, we'll be healed. Father, whatever it is we receive from you tonight through your mighty word, we apply faith to this word. We're not just listening with dull ears, but with active faith, we listen to the word of God. So go ahead and speak, Father God. Go ahead and speak a word. Speak a word to everybody listening, whether they're watching on live stream, listening through some other venue, here in this live. Speak a mighty word to every person assembled here, and we'll give you all of the glory. We'll give you all of the honor. We'll give you all of the praise for everything that's wrought and accomplished in our midst. We thank you so much for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. We thank you for sustaining them, blessing them, those who are with them. Thank you for protecting, providing, using them, Father God. We just give you all the glory for all going on in Oklahoma City tonight. We give you all the glory for everything you're doing here. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Well, turn and show your love to one more person. Tell somebody else you're glad to see him tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate our anointed worship team leading us right into the presence of God? Would you show your love to them? Let them hear you. Praise God. Amen. We appreciate every one of them, band and singers alike. They just anointed folk, and we appreciate them. Amen. Praise God. Do you have your Bible tonight? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is your pleasure? What is your pleasure? What is your pleasure? Lord, what's your pleasure? What is your pleasure? Title of our sermon tonight, what is your pleasure? How to be pleasing, how to live pleasing to the Lord in all respects. The title of this message, what is your pleasure? That's a question we should be asking the Lord every day as believers. Amen? When we say, what's your pleasure? What's your desire for me, Lord? What's your will for me today? What's your desire? What would you have for me today? We should wake each new day with a fresh commitment to Christ and a willingness to obey him and to heed him in any area, saying, Lord, what's your pleasure for me today? If there's somebody you want me to talk to, I'll talk to them. Somebody you want me to encourage, I'll encourage them. If there's something you want me to do, I'll do it. What's your pleasure? What's your pleasure? And I tell you, the Lord, he has a way of revealing what he, well, I've said so often. I remember one time years ago, talking to my neighbor, Mrs. Musgrove, and her husband had passed away. He always kept their house so meticulous, and now the house was fading and paint was chipping. And I had gone over just to say hi, make sure she was okay. She was in her 80s. And we were talking at the door, and she kept casually glancing up at the eaves area of her house because it had become as the paint had started to chip and peel away, and she wasn't saying anything, but I could tell that was really bothering her. And I remember on the way over to my yard, back over to my house, I was walking back to my house, and I sensed this from the Lord: do something about that. But I told the Lord right then, I don't know how to do anything about that, Lord. I'm the last person you want to get. If you need something painted, don't come get Bill. Unless you got a big, broad area, you got a big, broad wall, I'll help you paint that. But you got some tedious little spaces and crevices and corners and cracks, I ain't the one. And I told the Lord on the way back to my house, Lord, I don't know how to do that. And then I felt again, do something about that. I told the Lord again, I don't know how to paint. I don't know how. I would do it if I could, Lord. I don't know how to paint. I'd be glad to buy the paint. I don't know how to do that. He told me again, do something about that. I figured he wasn't going to change his mind. I better do something about that. Anybody ever been there with the Lord? So I remember I typed up a little flyer and sent it to all the other neighbors except Mrs. Musgrove, and said, on such and such a day, we're going to paint her house. And we're buying all the paint and all the brushes. But if you'd like to help, meet me in my driveway at 8 a.m. on a certain Saturday, and we're going to paint her house. And if you have brushes or rollers, bring them. If not, I'll pay for all that. And I said, I'll buy orange juice and coffee and donuts before we go to paint. And so just several folks from the neighborhood show. When I opened that door, several people was out there. I was deeply encouraged. And several of them knew how to paint in all those little intricate areas. And I remember Mrs. Musgrove, she just cried and cried and cried. She just cried and cried. She said, well, baby, but baby, don't, I, you know, she cried. I could just tell the Lord was well pleased, you know. And here, Colossians chapter 1, you have your Bible. Most of these scriptures are from New American Standard. We're going to read from 9 through 12. Colossians chapter 1, we're starting at 9 through 12. What's your pleasure is the title of this message. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This, you know, is one of Paul's amazing prayers that he prayed not just for the Colossian church, but for Christians all over the world. Paul prayed this prayer. And of course, we can learn a lot by praying the prayers that are in the epistles. The prayers in Ephesians are powerful, and we should pray those prayers. Ephesians, starting down there about verse 17 of chapter 1, powerful prayers, and we should replicate these prayers that Paul prayed. And here, Colossians 1, 9 through 11, another powerful, powerful prayer. But I want to cover that scripture again, because he said here, verse 9, we pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. Some versions say, and natural understanding. In other words, some versions say Paul was praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in our spiritual matters as well as our natural affairs. God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. When it comes to spiritual things, he wants us full of the knowledge of his will. When it comes to natural things and natural decisions, he wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And so spiritual wisdom and natural understanding. Verse 10, so that you can walk — to walk means to live, our lifestyle, how we live our life — so that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I like that. God wants us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now listen, nothing we do can earn the right to be acceptable in God's eyes. You understand that? Our best righteousness is as filthy rags. And so because of that, we can't do anything to earn it. But God already pre-qualified us through the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? We were pre-qualified through the blood. God already made us accepted in the beloved. If you ever read Ephesians chapter 1, we are already accepted in the beloved. I wish I had an amen in here. But there's nothing we can do to earn it. But once we realize all that God did to pre-qualify us, and once we realize all that God did to make us accepted in the beloved, there ought to be a corresponding response from you and I that ought to be, we want to live a life worthy of you, Lord. We can't earn what you did, but we want to live a life that just reflects a heart of gratitude. We want our lifestyle to be reflective of our grateful heart for all that you've done, to live a life worthy of the Lord. He said, and Paul prayed that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. But then that we would walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. The version to please him in all respects, New American Standard. God wants us to walk worthy of him. We can't earn it. But once we know that we got it, man, we ought to live a life that shows, our lifestyle ought to show, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything Christ has done. He pre-qualified me and I'm grateful. That's why I'm living the way he accepted me in the beloved and I'm grateful for it. That's why I'm living the way, that's how our lifestyle should reflect that. Amen. And so then he said that we would live a life, look, worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. That our number one goal ought to be, as Christians, as believers, to please him. Now, you know, after we come to Christ, we're at various stages of just babyhood growth, infantile state, so forth. And so initially when we come to Christ, oftentimes we think the world is all about us. But if you live for Christ very long, you learn that, listen, as a matter of maturity, as we grow in the Lord, there should come with our growth an understanding that we are not here in this earth realm to please ourselves. No, we've been redeemed by the blood. We've been saved from a devil's hell. But now we ought to live our lives in a lifestyle that's worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. But listen, we ought to be asking the Lord, what is your desire for me? What's your will for me? What place do I fit in, Lord? What would you have me to do? You see, we ought to please him. Paul, on that dirty Damascus road, as he was on the ground and saw the light and brighter than the noonday sun, he testified when the Lord, he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Paul said, he asked two questions. Who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do? Amen. He learned real quick, life wasn't going to be about him. And as we grow in the Lord, then we have to learn life is not about us. Life is about pleasing him. Amen. To please him in all respects, as Paul prayed. And look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You can get this idea of maturity as we grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We get this same idea of look, the world is not, once we grow in the Lord, we've got to come to the knowledge, to the understanding that as we mature in him, there should come a heart's desire to just please God in every respect. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and I, brethren, verse 1, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? He said, these Corinthians, he said, you brothers and sisters are spiritual minded people, but you're walking like mere men. Because their heart wasn't on pleasing the Lord. Their heart was on selfish things like pleasing themselves. And so we could go on. I think I've made the point there, but we won't go to Peter. But if you went over to 1 Peter chapter 2, you'd see the same thing. Like newborn babes, 1 Peter 2, 2, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow by it. I think you get the point. God wants you and I to grow up in him. Galatians said it this way. God's trying to form Christ in every area of our life. He's trying to get us to a place of maturity. And yet sometimes we're lagging. Sometimes we're not able to receive all that God wants to do. The idea is that God's ahead trying to get us places, trying to show us things, trying to bless us in areas, to bring us into new revelations and understandings of his word and of things of the spirit. But are we ready for that? We're not always ready for that. Our level of maturity dictates whether or not we're ready for some of the things that God, that he has in store. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What is your pleasure? That's our Father God. What's your pleasure? What's your pleasure? We're saying to Father God, what is your pleasure today? What's your will for me? Oh, that is the prayer of a mature man or a woman. That's a prayer of someone who's growing in Christ. And verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Here, Paul talking about being in his body and then being out of the body. He's saying things like to be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. And thank God for all of our loved ones who've gone to be with Jesus. They were immediately present with the Lord the moment they were absent from the body. And then he says this, verse 9. Therefore, we have as our ambition, whether at home, meaning at home in the body, or absent, meaning absent from the body, we have as our ambition, what ambition, Paul? To be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so he said, we have this single desire, this single ambition. What is it? It's to be pleasing to him. And you see, when that becomes our ambition, then it really doesn't matter what our neighbor's doing. I said, when your desire is to be just pleasing to God, you're not comparing yourself to people around you. You're not worried about what people are thinking about you. When your desire is to please him, hey, you are vertically in focus to the Lord, and you're just concerned about pleasing him. And what people think and what people say, that's not going to matter to you. When you'll want to please God, when that is your biggest ambition, when that's your biggest goal, then you'll know you're walking in a level in a mature area with the Lord when it just becomes your heart's desire just to be pleasing to him. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. What is your pleasure? What's your pleasure, Lord? Ephesians chapter 5. Starting at verse 6, Paul wrote this, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Look at verse 10, "Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." What's he saying to believers? Listen, we should be about the business of trying to learn, Lord, what pleases you? We should all want to hear what Jesus heard in Matthew 3:17, when the Father descended, when he heard the Father's voice, the Spirit descended upon him, and John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and the voice came from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that should be our desire. You should desire to say, I'm God's beloved daughter. You should be saying, I want to hear him say, I'm well pleased with her. Or you should be able to say, I'm God's son. I'm God's son. I want to hear him say, I'm well pleased. And here the scripture says in Ephesians that we ought to be about that business, trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. And see, when we learn what's pleasing to him, then we ought to go full throttle when we know what's pleasing to him. I said, amen. Amen. Obedience will always please him. To obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. And so learning, trying to learn, the scripture says we should be about the business trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Over in Philippians chapter 2, look at Philippians chapter 2. We'll go chapter 2 and then we'll go to chapter 4. Pleasing the Lord really has two veins. If you look at it, really going through all these scriptures, you'll see two veins really. One is we should please the Lord vertically. That is in our relationship with God. That is in all that we do in our relationship with God. He should be pleased with us in our relationship with him. And then horizontally in our relationship with people, in our relationship with family, in our relationship with friends and people that we interact with, then he should be pleased with us and how we interact with people. I said, amen. He should be pleased with us vertically. He should be pleased with us horizontally. Horizontally representing relationships, vertically representing our relationship with God. And so really to be pleasing to him, the best way, they say the old acrostic for joy, J-O-Y, the acrostic for joy, is to put Jesus first, and then to put other people second, and then to put yourself last. Amen. And sometimes Christians can get that out of whack. And so if you ever put yourself first, then it's going to be out of whack. It's going to be out of whack. But and if you put yourself second, it's going to be out of whack. But when you get to that high ground, that high ground of putting God first where he should be, putting other people second, and putting yourself last, then I tell you, oh man, you're walking on holy ground doing that. Over in Philippians chapter two, verse two, Paul wrote, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent upon one purpose." Look at three. Do nothing. Everybody say nothing. Yeah, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ. He put other people ahead of him. He put every one of us ahead of him. That's what sent him to the cross. That's what caused him to sacrifice his life, to suffer, to bleed, to die, to be raised from the dead in payment of the ransom for our penalty and for our sins. The Bible tells us, look, we should regard one another as more important than ourselves. We live in a selfish world today. And if we're not careful, the world's attitudes can creep into the church. And we have to be careful not to let the world affect us, because there's so much selfishness going on out in the world. We got to be careful that we keep that junk off of us so that we have God in his proper place. He should be first place. And then other people, put other people ahead of ourselves and put ourselves last. You can't get no amen as a preacher teaching like that, but it's true anyway. I just quoted chapter and verse. And then over in Philippians chapter four, you're in Philippians chapter two, just skip over to chapter four, because Paul writes verse 15, talking about how the Philippians had sustained him during a major time of need. Actually, let me start at verse 12, Philippians 4, 12. He said, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." What's the secret right here in 13? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction." Verse 15, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent." Now listen to what he says. Now he's talking about the gift they sent. "What you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And after talking about the aroma of the sacrifice of their gift, verse 19, he says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I tell you, that is a powerful verse. That promise should always, 19 should always be on our lips. But we should also remember the context under which Paul spoke it. He was saying, you Philippians reached out, you helped me in my time of need, and that gift he was saying that you sent to me, he said, Philippians, that gift produced an aroma in heaven. It produced a fragrant aroma to the Lord, and he said it was well pleasing to God. And he said, my God's going to supply all your needs. And so even in our giving, we should seek to be well pleasing to him in our giving. Wish I had one amen there. Can't get amen from a church mouse when you start talking about being pleasing in your giving. Even the church mouse go quiet. Look, we should desire to be pleasing to the Lord in how we give. I said, amen. Somebody said, please don't say anything about tithing. That's the first area you should seek to be pleasing to him about. You should seek to be pleasing to the Lord in your personal tithe. You can't get no amen like that. I said, the Lord, he's trying to bless us. He wants to help us. But listen, we have to obey him. You can't displease him by being disobedient in the manner of giving and then expect his full blessing to abound on you. I tell you this, he'll bless us all that he can. He'll bless us as far as he can. They say in national surveys that the church worldwide only tithes between 6 and 10%. That's not true here. Thank God. I said, thank God. But if that statistic is true, that the worldwide church only tithes between 6 and 10%, that there's going to come a day where people have to answer to the Lord. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. One day I'll have to speak for me. How I gave my tithe. I just want to be able to stand before him and say, hey, Lord, I want you to be, I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. You say, if you get off the subject of tithing, you could go back to getting an amen. We should seek to be pleasing to the Lord in giving offerings. You said, no, he didn't go to offerings now. Hey, you should seek to be pleasing to the Lord how you give your offerings. Paul said the offering that the Philippians gave rose up to God as a fragrant aroma, that it was well-pleasing to the Lord. Go over there in Acts chapter 10 and read about Cornelius, an unsaved Italian Roman centurion giving offerings and alms to the Jewish nation. And when the angel showed up, he said, your alms and your prayers have come up as an aroma before God. They've come up before, as a memorial before God. And he said, God has heard your prayer. God sent an angel to him. I said, we ought to seek to be pleasing to the Lord. Go on, Brother Bill. Give yourself an amen. You ain't getting no amen here. Go on. Moonwalking in one place. Pleasing. He said, be pleasing. We should seek to be pleasing. Let's go back to the book of Colossians. You're in Philippians. Let's go over to the next book. We started at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. We started chapter 1, 9 through 12. This time, go over to chapter 3 in the book of Colossians. What's your pleasure? What's your pleasure, Lord? What's your pleasure? What would please you today? That should be our heart's desire. That should be our heart's cry. And here in chapter 3, we get an idea of horizontal relationships where we can be pleasing to the Lord, and how we treat our wives and how we treat our husbands and how we treat our children. I wish I had one amen there. Amen. Verse 18, he says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. And children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Oftentimes when we quote that, we just quote the part where the children obeying the parents, and then we say, well, that's well-pleasing to the Lord, and it is. But the whole context is all of these relationships in proper honor and proper respect and proper treatment. That is, husbands treating their wives right. I said, amen, that's well-pleasing to the Lord. You can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, a man treating his wife right is well pleasing to the Lord. How you honor her, how you talk to her, how you regard her as well. That is an area that God monitors. Is he well pleased or is he not well pleased? You say, brother, I wish you'd get on another subject. You just told me to get off tithing. I left that and went to offerings. You didn't like offerings. How you treat that girl. You know, over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that scripture said there, if you fail to show her honor, God won't even answer your prayers. Must not be well pleased. You might be going, based on how you're treating your spouse, you might be going through a situation of unanswered prayer because God's judging how you're treating your spouse. I said, ladies, you ought to treat him right. I said, I ought to get one manly amen. I said, ladies, you ought to treat him right. The man gave a scared amen. All right, fellas, I know you're there. No, treat that man right. God's watching you. God's seeing how you treat him. And see, based on how you're treating him, you might be receiving or not receiving certain answers to your prayer based on how you're treating that man. Sometimes we try to make things so deep. But he said here, listen, wives, listen, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. All these things. Why? It's well-pleasing to the Lord, including fathers not exasperating their children. That's also well-pleasing. And verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance. So he wants us to be well-pleasing in our vertical relationships. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You say, you sure are covering a lot of scripture. You know, the Bible is just chock full. The epistles are chock full of references about our attitude as believers, that our core desire, our main focus, our number one attention should be to please God. Should be to please God. And so we're just covering a few. We're in 1 Thessalonians. Now we've gone to chapter 2. And but 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. So what's he saying? He's saying, look, our main desire, we're not trying to please men here, we're trying to please God. Our main focus is pleasing the Lord. And I tell you, we're all going to stand before him. And I know that you, like me, want to hear him say in that day, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What's your pleasure, Lord? What's your desire for me? What's your will? What's your focus for me today? Lord, I'm available to you. That should be our heart's desire, our heart cry. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Why? So that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Our main focus in the army of the Lord, you know, we're soldiers in his army. And he's the captain. He's the supreme commander. I said, amen. And our main focus ought to be, man, we want to just want to be pleasing. Just want to live a life that's just pleasing. Go with me to Hebrews 13 real quick. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Down around verse 15, Hebrews 13 and 15. What's your pleasure, Lord? Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is, he's pleased. And so through our worship and through helping people and ministering to people, those kinds of sacrifices, those kinds of things are very pleasing to the Lord. Let's round third and head home. Now, go with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at another side real quick. Just real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's another side. There's another side because there's another option. There's two roads we can take. There's two roads ahead of us tonight. One road is the road that's pleasing to the Lord. The other road is the road that's pleasing to our flesh or to other people or to someone different than the Lord. But Israel, they got in trouble with the Lord because they lost their focus of being pleasing to him. They lost that heart's desire to just please him unto all respects, as Paul prayed there in Colossians. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul said, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." Verse 5, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." Now, these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they craved. And if you go down and see some of the evil things that they craved, you can see why God was not pleased with them. And so they wandered in the desert all of those years. They were kept outside. He blessed them as far as he could. But listen, their attitude and their behavior and their conduct, while they turned a 2-week journey into 40 years. Because they weren't pleasing to the Lord. All right, we're between third base and home plate. We're going to slide head first again. Go to Proverbs 16, and we have one scripture after that. Proverbs 16. Anybody know where I'm going? Going verse 7, you know. Proverbs 16. We can't talk about this subject without going. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways, this includes a woman, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You think that pleasing God doesn't get his attention? When our ways please him, he'll make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Woo, you can't get no amen teaching like that. All right, we're sliding for home head first. Go to 1 John. 1 John. This is our last scripture tonight. This is all we could give you more, but this is all we have time for. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, 21 and 22. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight." Let's pray together. Father, we've shared along the lines of pleasing you, what you gave us to share, what we believe you laid upon our heart for tonight. And now, Father, we trust and leave the word with you and the hearts of your people. And we thank you, Father, and we just, we thank you for your great mercy. You're such a kind. And the Bible says it's your kindness that leads us even to repentance. You're rich in mercy. Thank you for that. You're such an awesome Heavenly Father. We were singing about that. And so thank you now. Thank you now for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And Father, you see your people tonight. You see hearts here in this auditorium tonight. You see those listening via live stream or internet or through some other venue. You see all of those hearts tonight. And so thank you for just speaking to your people. With every head bowed in this place and every eye closed, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, tonight's your night. Don't hold back another night. Tonight is your night. Ushers, help me. Let me see your hand in here. You say, "I've never accepted Christ. I've never prayed to receive Christ. I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If I were to die tonight, I don't know if I would go to heaven. I don't know what would happen to me." If you're not sure what would happen to you if you were to pass on from this earth tonight, let me see your hand. Is there anybody in here like that? I've never received Christ. I don't know what would happen if I were to pass away from this earth. Is anybody in here like that? And then secondly, is there anybody in here? And you say, "Well, brother, I know what it means to have received Jesus, but if I'm going to be honest," you say, "I'm not walking with him completely right now. I've gone my own way. I'm doing my own thing." Let me see your hand. I want you to pray for me. I see your hand. Thank you. I want you to pray for me. Thank you. I want to make things right. I want to get back over on that side of pleasing him. Let me see your hand in this place. Thank you. You say, I want to make it right. I want to please the Lord. I want to get right with him. I know I haven't been walking with him like I should. I know I haven't. I've gone my own way. I've been doing my own thing. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Say, brother, pray for me. I thank you. I want to get it right. I want to get it right. I want to be pleasing. I want to be well pleasing. One day we're going to stand before him. One day we're going to stand before him. One day we're going to stand before him. We're moving closer, closer and closer every day. We're moving closer to that day. One day we're going to stand before him. We're going to give an account. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. And tonight you're going to have to make a decision. Do you care more about what man thinks? Do you care more about what people think? Let me see your hand. Pray for me. Do you care more about what people think than you do about getting right with God? Oh, my friend, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing, just a bold thing that will result in God bless. I'm going to ask you to do something tonight that is so well pleasing to God that I believe when you stand before him, he'll look at what happened tonight and he'll say, well done, well done. I was well pleased with you. I was well pleased. You raised your hand. You raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand. You raised it, or you should have raised it. On the count of three, I'm going to count to three, and I want you just to boldly pop up on your feet. You raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand. One. Come on now, get your eyes off a man. Two. Come on, are you more concerned about pleasing God, or are you more concerned about pleasing man? Three. Come on, just stand up on your feet. That's right. Just pop up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. That's right. You're concerned more about God than you are about man. Stand up on your feet. That's right. That's right. Take another bold step. Step out in the aisle and come down here and let me pray for you. Step right out in the aisle. Come on down here. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Your heavenly Father is well pleased. I can guarantee you he's well. Just step right out in the aisle. Just come up here and let me pray for you. Come up here and show God. Thank you. God bless you. Show God that you mean business. Show him that you mean business. Just face me. Just stand right here and face me. You're good, dear. Come right on up here. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Come on now. Show God that you mean business. You've been praying. You've been asking God to help you. It's time for you to show him you mean business. Are you going to sit there and worry about what people are thinking? Or are you going to let God help you? Are you going to let God bless you tonight? I said the Lord's well pleased. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, little one. Yeah, God is well pleased. I tell you, I guarantee you, I double guarantee you tonight. He's well pleased. He's well pleased. God bless you. He's well pleased. Come on and honor him. Honor him. Are you going to listen to him? Are you going to listen to, you're going to be concerned about man. You're going to be afraid about man. Oh, God wants to help you. There's somebody else in here. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. God's waiting on you. You know, you can sense it in your heart. He's talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. The Holy Spirit's ministering to you. Come on now. Come on and let him help you. Don't just sit there and then you'll be asking him later. Come on and let him help you. If you'll come, he's going to help. There's somebody else in here. There's somebody else in here. You say, how do you know that? I just know it in my spirit. I just know it down in my spirit. There's somebody in here. If you'll come and let him help you, he's going to help you. He's going to touch you. He's going to change you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's going to help you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You that are down here, you in the audience, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand. Stretch your hand to these. You down here, stretch your hand to the Lord. I'm just a man. I'm just a man. But the blessing that you seek, that's right. Come on, brother. Come on. There's plenty of room. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God's well pleased. God's well pleased. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand because that's who you're coming to. You're coming to the Lord. This is between you and him. This is about your vertical relationship with him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus and I give you my heart. I surrender my will. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, and to make me the person you want me to be. I ask you to help me, to strengthen me, to lift me up. I want to be pleasing to you in all respects, in every area of my life. I want to be pleasing to you, Lord. And so I surrender to you in the name of Jesus. And I take you at your word that if I would repent, you would receive me to yourself. And based upon your word, I thank you that all is well. I thank you that all is forgiven. I thank you that all is new because of the blood of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for touching each and every one here tonight. Oh, Father, may they experience your mighty power in demonstration. May your mighty power, Father God, may they sense the power of your love and the power of the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, touch every single one of them in a mighty way. Confirm your love and your power. Oh, Father God, in them, thank you for your awesome word. Thank you. May their lives never be the same. May tonight be a turning point. May tonight be a changing, a shifting in the spirit in their lives. May their lives shift focus, shift direction. And Father, take them from glory to glory. Take them to a brand new level in you. May their bodies be healed. Father, may your angels minister unto them. Father, may every need of their life be met. Father, touch them, encourage them, strengthen them. May your favor come upon them like a shield. May your favor open doors before them, door after door after door after door. May they look back and point, I got right with God and got pleasing in his sight, and your favor came on me like a shield, Father God. We thank you for helping them tonight. May they never be the same. May there be a monumental shift in the name of Jesus, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen to me. This is Brother Paul, Reverend Paul. He's over our prayer group tonight. We just want you to go with Reverend Paul just for a few minutes. He's going to give you some free materials. And he has some people, anointed people, who can answer any question you may have, give you free materials. They're not going to keep you long. But if you would go with Reverend Paul to that place of prayer, we love you. And we thank you so much tonight for coming. And God is going to show you that he's well pleased. He's going to reveal himself. Just go with Reverend Paul tonight. He's going to reveal himself to you. Amen. He's going to show you that he's well pleased. God bless you. He's going to show you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Let's get excited now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not condemning. We're cheering. We're loving. We're encouraging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. God's pleased with when somebody turns and repents. God's well pleased. There's joy all over heaven. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be caught cheering louder for my football team than I am when somebody gives their life or rededicates their life to the Lord. Come on, let's give God the glory now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God is so good. I said he's so good. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. He's an all-powerful God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he's changing lives. He's changing lives. Life after life after life. He said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad about it? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. You came tonight and it was your first time here. We're so glad you came. On behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, our senior pastors, they're ministering tonight, Oklahoma City. On behalf of them and the whole church family, we're so glad you came. Let's show our love again to all these who came. First time. And if you would go with our connection team members, we're going to give you the gift that Pastor Marvin was talking about at the beginning of this service. Pastor Marvin spoke of a great gift, and they're going to give you that. And we just want to bless you for coming, and we just thank you for being here tonight. If you come back on Wednesday, Pastor will be teaching Hour of Power, and Sunday morning he'll be preaching. So let's show our love one more time, all these first-time guests. We appreciate them. Praise God. What's your pleasure, Lord? What's your heart? What's your desire? I dare you to start praying that. I dare you to pray that tonight before bed and tomorrow when you wake up. Thank you, Lord, for blessing your people until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.